How do we make this work so this armor that God gives us is something that benefits us and works for us? So we're going to take a look at a number of scriptures. I'll start in Ephesians, and then I'm going to jump over to Romans. And then I want to introduce you to two people in the Bible, which you probably know who they are, but a man named Elijah and a man named Daniel. And we're just going to take a quick snapshot into their lives about how these men were just men like you and me, but they understood the power of prayer. And that's what we're talking about here. If you really want to cinch up the armor of God, the Word of God says that we must learn to pray. And prayer is just about communicating with God, as we'll find out in a moment, but it's through prayer that you cinch up all of these pieces of the armor. When you have that full armor of God, you also have the full favor of God. You have all of His grace, all of His mercy that you're ever going to need. And if you're here today and you're going through a difficult time, because the Bible was clear, remember in the last few weeks, it goes around verse 12 or verse 13, it says, in that day, in that evil day, which just tells us that there's going to be some of those days, right? He says, in that day, put on the armor of God. How? Well, it's through prayer. And when you have that full armor, you can not only have the armor of God, but you can use it. It's good not just to have something, but to be able to use it, isn't it? You know, there's the story of a bodybuilder who went to Africa, went to some of the tribes that were in the villages there. And as a bodybuilder, you know, he was all buffed up, you know, kind of like me. And he went around to the villages, don't laugh too much, and went to the villages and went around to just impress them, to entertain them, you know, kind of give them something to see. And so he'd do his profiles and, you know, he'd grunt out his poses, whatever it is he did. And they were completely impressed. And they said, I don't think we've ever seen anyone as big as you, just defined and built, you know. And one of the chief tribes came up and said to him, he said, man, that looks good. That was impressive. He says, I don't think I've seen a man with that many muscles. He says, what else can you do with them? And the guy that was the bodybuilder went, nothing. And the chief looked at him and said, what a waste. What a waste to have all of those muscles, but yet you're not doing anything with them. And it got me thinking, when it comes to the armor of God, when we know that we have the armor of God, we have His favor, we have His grace, what a waste it would be to have this armor and not use it in our lives. To not be able to put on the full armor of God. And we talked last week about how do you put on these pieces. And when it, you know, we were kids, or at least when I was, I'll speak for me. When I was a kid, there was the whole, I put on the full armor of God. I put on the belt of truth. And we'd always go like this, right? You know, I put on the feet of peace, and we pretend like we're putting shoes on. And it was quite a workout, actually, you know. You know, you got the shield, you got the righteousness, salvation. Before you got done, you worked up a sweat a little bit. But it wasn't about going through the motions. It was about declaring the word of God over your life, because there was an attack that was coming upon you. And this attack, this evil day, is not about necessarily, he's not talking in Ephesians about a physical attack. He's talking about a spiritual attack. And so we've taken time and said that the battles that you go through, they're done in the invisible realm, the invisible spiritual realm. But we feel them, don't we? In the physical, visible realm. You know what I'm talking about? And it's when that heaviness gets in your life. It seems like it's always a dark day. You're grumpy, irritated, angry, frustrated, and you're the rest of the dwarfs. So, you know, name them off. You just, and you know there's just something going on, and I can't quite put my finger on it. And there's an attack, or there's a heaviness. It's that evil day. And he says it's in that time that you put on the armor of God. Now, just as a reminder, we had said that the first three pieces we're supposed to be functioning in daily when it comes to truth, righteousness, and peace. But the other three you take up as you need them. You take up the sword of the Spirit. You take up the shield of faith. You put on the helmet of salvation. And you cinch all of these up, the Bible tells us, through prayer. That's how it happens. The enemy doesn't want you to take this seriously, by the way. He doesn't want you to take seriously this whole armor of God. And, well, it's just kind of a, you know, whatever. No, this is something that's powerful, because if you took it seriously, you could see some things move in your life. And the enemy does not want you and does not want me to discover that kind of power that God gives to us. The enemy doesn't want you to take seriously the spiritual realm, because then you might address it spiritually and then you would see things move physically. The enemy wants you and I to focus on the fruit, the things that are coming out in our life. Focus on this over there and our family over there and our job and politics and the news. But what he doesn't want you to do is focus on the root cause of why you feel how you feel or why you think what you think. Because if you address that, then health comes to the rest of the branches of life, so to speak. See, this battle, it's in the heavenlies. It's in the spiritual realm. So that's where you've got to fight that battle, is in the spiritual realm. And you do that through prayer. This is why prayer is important. Sometimes we've dumbed down prayer. Prayer is just something you do before you eat. You know, prayer is something you do before you go to bed. I'm not saying that we all do that. I'm just saying that in the world in general, we can take prayer and make it something. If we're not doing that, then one of the things I've noticed, I don't know if you have, somebody that I know is going through a hard time. And they've tried everything else. And then they finally say, well, I might as well try praying. Right? Like it's a last resort. Or it's a get out of jail free card. Or, you know, God just kind of somehow saved me. And he will always by his grace and his mercy. But he says, prayer is much more than that. It's a two-way street. Not only do we talk to God, but God wants to talk to us. He wants to speak into our lives. So when you're going through a battle, no matter what that battle is, you address it in the spiritual realm. I think one of the toughest things for God, and this is my opinion, that's all it is, okay? I think one of the toughest things for God has got to be getting us to see life through his spirit, through his eyes, rather than through our five senses. You know what I mean? When we live life, it's what we feel, what we see, what we are involved in. We want to live according to that, but God sometimes wants us to see life through his eyes. And the only way that we can do that is when we spend time with him and talk with him. That's called prayer. So let me take you back to Ephesians. We've talked about the different pieces of the armor. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, after he tells us each piece and what we're to do with them, he says, now, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints and pray on my behalf. He said, with all prayer and petition, pray. He said, if you want this armor of God to work the way that it's designed to work, you need to pray. God is the author. He's our creator. Can we agree on that? We all agree? Okay. So he made us. So he knows how we work. So if something's not going right, don't you think it would make sense to go back to the one who made us and say, what's up? Why is this going on? Why am I having this struggle? You see, I have a Dodge truck, and there are many people that are mechanics that can work on vehicles, but if I really want somebody to be able to address my Dodge issue, I need to go to a Dodge dealer to really understand it. God is our creator, and he says, I invite you to come and spend time with me and talk with me, because this evil day you're going through, I've got armor that fits that need. But you have to be willing to seek me and pray with all petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And we'll get to that in just a moment, what that means. Now, notice prayer, how many times it comes up in that short sentence. He closes this whole armor thing out with prayer. How do you put on the armor of God and wear what God has given us for victory? You do it through prayer, he tells us in verse 18. But what is prayer? What is prayer? A lot of people could define it differently. When you understand prayer, though, in this context, it can change whether you pray, how you pray, what you expect from your prayers. Because most people pray like the national anthem of a ball game, right? It gets the game started, but it really has no relevance to what's going on in the field. And they can kind of have that mindset. And that's not what prayer is supposed to be. And I'm not trying to dumb down this. Or if you pray this prayer, I'm not making fun of it. If you pray and you mean it, then you mean it. But one that I learned as a kid that we probably all learned. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Help me finish it. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, is that a bad prayer? No, absolutely not. So are you saying I shouldn't be praying that? No. If you're praying that and you mean it, pray it. But what happened, and I can only speak for me, is it became more of a repetition. You know what I mean? It's something you said just because you were supposed to say it. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the, I'd even get a little dance into it. The meaning of the prayer was absent. There was no depth to it. And a lot of times We can pray prayers like that, really missing the fact that it's God wanting to draw, he wants us to draw close to him. The Bible tells us that when we draw close to him, he does what? Draws close to us. And he brings with it understanding for whatever it is that you're facing in that evil day. But unfortunately, we live in a world that treats prayer like the spare tire of our car. We want it there in case we really need it, but if we don't need it, we'll just keep it in the trunk. And that's kind of sometimes how people can think of prayer. But when you understand that prayer is just it's communication, it's talking with God, it's telling him about your fears and worries, but not stopping there and saying, but Lord, what do you have to say? What do you have to speak to me? Then all of a sudden it becomes a two-way road. So let me just define prayer according to the context that we're in, and this armor of God and facing these battles. Write this down. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. That's what we're talking about here. Prayer is giving God permission to interfere with what's going on in your situation at this current moment. God, I'm going through something in my workplace and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to get promoted or demoted. I don't know if I'm going to get fired. Should I stay? Should I go? I'm just, things are up in the air. I don't know what to do. When you bring that to God and you start seeking him and you get his perspective, it brings revelation into your heart. And so it gives permission, in other words, for God to interfere and speak into your life. It's giving permission for God to tell you what it is that he's dwelling upon. Sometimes people ask this, they say, well, why does God need my permission? Can't God just say what he needs to say and I don't have to go through all this whole mess? But this is where we go back to the whole thing about living in this world. In this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. And I've given you this armor to wear so that when you go through the evil day and you seek me through prayer, I will speak directly into your life. But why does God need permission? Because God has given us rulership. He's given us free choice. And there's some things that God can and will step in on, but there are things that God wants to be invited into. When you're going through a difficult time, he says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And then what happens? Some things are given to you. No, the Bible says all things. All things are given to you when you seek him. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to pray the way you hear me pray. I grew up with a dad who was a pastor of the church, and I listened to him pray, and I thought, when he prays, and he's serious. And I thought, if I have to pray like that, I'm never going to make it. But then I discovered God's not concerned about me sounding like my dad as much as he is wanting me to hear from my Heavenly Father. That's what's most important. That's prayer. It's communication. It's talking with God. And not only talking, but hearing. There's times when God just wants to be invited into your evil day. Not as a flare, which there's nothing wrong with that. You shoot it over the boat. My boat's going down, God. Yeah, cry out to him. But he loves to come in the midst of that storm and speak into your life and tell you what it is that you need to know, help bring some understanding into your life. He wants to know that you want him in the midst of that. Think of it this way. Married couples in the house. Your husband, your wife came home, and even if you're not married, you wouldn't want to seek this kind of relationship. If I were to go home today and tell my wife, she said, I love you, and I said, I love you too, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. How do you think that's going to go over? You probably won't see me next week unless it's in pieces or a coffin up here. I don't know, one of the two. Because why would she be upset about that? Because she doesn't want me to just give some kind of a repetitious kind of, I told you I love you, and if it ever changes, you know, I'll send you an email or something. She wants relationship with me. She wants to hear that I want her in my life, and it goes both ways. God wants to know that we want him involved in our life, not just on a Sunday, you know what I mean, but what about Monday through Saturday? Do we want him to be a part of our life when we're driving to work and we really don't want to go there and we're having one of those days? That's the perfect time to invite God into your car, into your presence. Lord, help me today. You're going through something at home. You invite him into your presence because you want him there, not because you have to have him there. He wants to be involved in your life. He is involved in your life. But when you're going through that evil day, he says that armor of God, it's cinched up through prayer and through seeking him first. I'm going to read you a scripture from James, which is, I'm not trying to confuse you, but it talks about prayer, and it mentions a man named Elijah. So then I'm going to have to jump back to Kings over here where the story of Elijah is at. And then I'm going to introduce you to a man named Daniel. These men understood prayer. And what I love about them is Elijah was, the Bible says it, he was a man just like you and me. He was just your average Joe. There was nothing technically specific or unique about him that would be different from you and me. But when God spoke to him, he responded kind of like maybe I would if God told me to do something in a confrontational way. I wouldn't want to go. But yet he still obeyed. Daniel, in the Bible, we'll find out in just a moment, was another man who was under new rulership, and he was told not to worship anybody but the new rulership, and he didn't follow that. What did both of them have in common? They both prayed. They prayed earnest prayers. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much." He makes a condition and says, a healing prayer. Then he brings up the word, the effective prayer he talks about. And then in verse 17, he says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Elijah, just like you and me, this ordinary man got heaven to move. How? Prayer. That's how it happened. There was a problem on earth, and God was looking for somebody that he could work with that would seek him and want to be in his presence. And that man was Elijah. And it says that when Elijah prayed, it says that, you know, when he prayed for the rain to stop, it stopped. And when he prayed for the rain to come, it came. So let me take you back to 1 Kings. What was going on? Well, back in that time, there was a lot of idol worship. There was a lot of other gods. And God was fed up. And he said, "I want you to go to Ahab." Here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. "Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.'" So there's a challenge that's being thrown down. And in verse 41, it says, "Now Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a roar of a heavenly shower.'" It's not been raining, okay? And they're calling for rain. It says, "So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bent down to the earth, put his face between his knees," just a posture of prayer, "and he said to his servant, 'Go up and look out toward the sea.' So he went up and looked, but he returned and said, 'There's nothing.' Elijah said, 'Go back 7 times. And when he returned the 7th time, he said, 'I see a cloud the size of a hand.'" Now, I don't know about you. I'll finish reading that in just a moment, but have you ever sought the Lord and you're trying to get direction? You want to know what God has to say. And when you pray, it seems like he doesn't answer. You know what I'm talking about? So then you keep praying and it seems like he doesn't answer. Keep praying and it seems like he doesn't answer. Keep praying and it seems like he doesn't answer. And then all of a sudden, something's a little different. You know, well, why did we have to go through that? Why didn't he just answer me the first time? I'm sure Elijah was wondering that too, but it continues to say that when he returned the 7th time, behold, a cloud as small as a person's hand is coming up from the sea. And Elijah said, "Go get Ahab, harness your chariots, and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you." And it says that when Elijah prayed for the rain to come, it not only came, but it came in bucket loads. That God answered that prayer. But you see, it wasn't until the man prayed. When Elijah prayed, he only prayed, by the way, about what God said. Okay, that's important to catch. He prayed back. He prayed to God about something that God was speaking. He wasn't making stuff up, but what God said didn't come true until Elijah prayed. So even though God declared it in the spiritual realm, nothing was happening until this man Elijah prayed. Prayer, by the way, doesn't make God do anything, okay? It just calls down what he already wants to do. Sometimes we used to think, maybe we have thought, well, if I pray, then I'll get it, right? If I pray for the new car, the new relationship, the new house, just because I'm praying, I should get it. But just like a good parent, sometimes the parent says yes, sometimes the parent says no. Sometimes the parent says, "We'll see." And he says, "Wait." But the question is are you seeking the Lord for whatever it is that you're going through. Prayer is not a tool that you use to make God do something. If that were true, I would have Magnum PI's red Ferrari right now. But I don't. Prayer is about calling down that which God already wants to do, and he's just looking for somebody that wants to line up with him and agree with him. It says that Elijah was crouched down on his knees with his head between his knees. It's almost like it was in a birthing process. Now, I don't ever want to try to say that I understand what that would be like. You ladies can speak into that. But in the birthing process, there's pain that takes place, but you travail through that because you know that new life is about to come. There's something brand new that's coming out of the midst of this pain. And it says that Elijah was in that kind of a position of birthing something new in the physical realm because of what was going on in the spiritual realm. See, what prayer did was grab what God had already intended to do and brought it down to earth, brought it down to the whatever issue or situation it is that you may have going on in your life. So prayer is not making God do something he never intended to do. Prayer is taking that which God intended to do already and bringing it down and becoming a part of what God is doing. It's the difference between God bless me and God, what are you blessing? And I can be a part of that. Prayer is saying, God, what are you involved in and what is it that you have to say? Because too many times we spend all of our time talking to men about God and very little time talking to God about men. If we get that switched around, things would go so much easier. We talk to others about circumstances. We talk to others about problems in our life. We look for sympathy, but what we need is answers, and that comes when we seek the Lord. Right now in this room, it's filled, and I used this illustration just a couple weeks ago, but there's a lot of radio waves going on through this room. There's a lot of TV signals that are happening and going through this room. If I were to take a radio right now and tune it in to 1340 AM, boom, we could pull that signal down from out of the sky, and we could hear clearly what is going on. If you wanted to watch TV and there was a TV up here, you would tune into the channel that you want, and what it's doing is grabbing that frequency and pulling it down to the television set so that you can watch the television show. What prayer does is it says that in the invisible realm, there's both good and bad, right? You know, how many of you believe that God is alive and well? Anybody in here? Okay. You believe God's doing good? You believe that his power is present even here in this room? Then the question is what are we doing to pull that down into our lives right now? The reality of it is this. There's also a demonic force that's out there. And sometimes we open up the wrong doors and invite in the wrong people, spiritually speaking, if you know what I mean. And that is the perfect time to say, God, what do you have to say? And, you know, there's been times that in the middle of my prayer, God never has condemned me. He never will, but he has convicted me. And there's times when I say, God, I'm struggling and I don't know what's going on and I don't know what to do. What do you have to say? And he'll remind me of something I either did or said, or I kind of opened a door and into something that wasn't good in my life, let's say. And God will show me that and he'll say, you need to close that door. I never would have saw that unless I sought the Lord. But because I did, he gave me some understanding. There's changes I've made in my life and in my past that have made me better, spiritually speaking, in my walk with God, because I spent time in his presence. And he doesn't condemn me for the things I did in my past. He does convict me. And he says, you know, I love you. I always will. But that's not right. That's not right. And so he's wanting us to pray so that we can pull down what he already wants to do in our lives and through our lives. But the question is are we going to do it? Let me take you back to Ephesians, and then we'll jump over to Daniel in a minute. He said that we are to pray. We've read the verse already, but he says we are to pray at all times. I like that word times, but there's two meanings for that word. And I put them down there in your outlines. The first one, these are Greek words, so they're kind of goofy, but the first word is chronos, okay? Chronos. And what that means is time in general. Seconds, minutes, hours, they're all just kind of there. It's out there. But that's not the word he's using for the word time there. The word he's using when he says pray at all times is the word kairos. That's the second one, which is a specified, specific time. In other words, if after service I came up to you and I said, hey, let's go down to Nora's Cafe. I'll meet you there at 2:00 so we can talk about whatever it is we're going to talk about. That's a chronos type of communication because it's for a specific time, for a specific purpose, because we want to accomplish something. When you're going through that evil day and you're going through a spiritual battle, you pray that type of kairos type of prayer and say, Lord, I need you now in this moment for this battle that I'm facing. And what I need more than anything to know is what you have to say. So help me to walk in truth and in righteousness and in peace. And Lord, protect me from the enemy when he flings those darts at me, to take up the shield of faith, to take the sword of the Spirit, to have the mind of Christ through the helmet of salvation. It happens. It's all cinched up when you and I pray and seek the Lord. Now, if he were saying it was a chronos type of pray at all times, that'd be like, I'll just pray all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not what he's saying, though. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm going to say it's impossible. Nobody can pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But he says, no, I want you to pray in those moments, a chronos type of prayer, specific, seeking the Lord for what he has for you in the moment that you're facing. Verse 13 says that there's an evil day that will come. It's in that evil day when you want this kind of a specific prayer. Because God can give you, reveal to you, give you understanding, download into your very spirit what you need to know about this season that you're going through. Because when you're under attack, you don't want chronos type of prayer. You want kairos. You want to be able to be specific so that you can see God respond in a specific way. Because when all hell breaks loose, you and I have the unique ability to be specific. We have the unique ability to be specific. We do it when we dress, pick where we want to eat, what kind of car we want to drive. We can do it when we pray. And he says that you're to call on him in the spirit. Now, here's what it's talking about here. It's talking about you're to call on him spiritually. There is a gift of the spirit, the speaking of tongues, you know, and the interpretation. We've had that, you know, happen before. That's not exactly what he's saying here. What he's saying is call on him spiritually. That includes praying in the spirit. But the opposite of the spirit is flesh. To pray in the flesh is to mouth some words that have no meaning to them. To just say some words but have nothing that backs or supports it would be meaningless, wouldn't it? He says, no, you pray in the spirit. Because when you pray in the spirit or you pray spiritually, then you've got the backing of the Spirit of God. And here's what I mean by that. We can think that we've prayed sometimes just because we kind of threw some words up and slapped God's name on it. And somehow we think that's spiritual. And he says, don't do that. That's why, you know, we used to pray goofy prayers when we were teenagers. You know, God bless me, my four, no more. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, who eats the fastest gets the most. You know, and we'd be all goofy like that. But there was no meaning to it. There was no depth to a prayer like that. There was no spiritual attachment. He says, pray spiritually, which means you are making a connection with God. And it's when you take the word of God and you start flinging it, so to speak, back to God. God, I'm going through a difficult time right now, and the doctor said this, and the nurse said that, but I'm declaring today that you are the great physician. You are my healer, so I declare your healing over my life, and will you transform my mind while I'm going through it, because it's going a little goofy, in Jesus' name. Father, I'm going through financial difficulty. I can't find the job. I don't have the money. I don't know what to do, but your word says that you are my provider and that you will never leave me or forsake me. So Lord, I'm using your word and standing on that. Help me to know what to do next. That's how you connect with him spiritually. That's how you wear the armor. You walk in that truth, in that righteousness, and in that peace. And you do it through prayer. When you bring spiritual truth into your conversation with God, you are now praying spiritually. Romans chapter 8 says this, verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for adoptions as sons. And then you bump down to verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Have you ever found yourself there? I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I just know I'm not feeling it. And he says, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He says this, when you take what you know to be the will of God into the presence of God, and you're groaning, and the Holy Spirit groans with you. He groans with you. Isn't it just nice to know? You heard the saying before, misery loves company, right? And when you're feeling miserable, it's nice to know that you can have the Holy Spirit there groaning right along with you. But he doesn't come along just to groan with you so you can feel better about you. He knows what to do next. And because he knows how deep the problem is, he will come alongside of you and help you out. He'll help you out of that rut that you're in. He'll lift you up out of that miry clay the Bible talks about. So why pray spiritually? Simple answer, because he knows the territory. He knows the territory. When I went to visit, my wife and I went to visit my son-in-law and my daughter in California. I could have driven while I was there, but I didn't. Here's the main reason. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm at. Thank God we have GPS, and almost everybody relies on GPS. But I didn't know the territory. Therefore, my son-in-law drove because he knew it. When you're going through a difficult situation and you don't know what to do next, you don't know the territory. You do know somebody who does. And the way that you connect with them is through prayer. Put on the full armor of God. How? Through prayer. Lord, help me to walk in truth, righteousness, and peace. Help me to pick up the other pieces of equipment as needed. But why pray in the Spirit? Because the Spirit knows the territory. Let me introduce you to Daniel. I know you probably know who he is, so I don't mean introduction like you've never heard him before. But Daniel, I'm really condensing this. But there's new rulership that's taking place, and the decree goes out to pray to nobody. You know, you don't pray to God. You only pray to the new king, to which Daniel wasn't going to do that, and he was struggling with some things. And it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, I, Daniel, observed, because he was going through a battle right now. He was in his evil day. He said, I, Daniel, observed in the books of the number of the years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by what? Prayer. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, I know the last slew of words, you're probably like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to fast. And I don't want to do, you know, but do you pray? Do you give him your full attention and say, God, I want to know what you have to say about this? Here's what Daniel did. Daniel read what God said. Then he talked to God about it. Pretty simple, isn't it? It says that he found the mind of God from the word of God, and he talked to God about what it is that God had to say. When you do that, you're praying in the Spirit right there. Daniel chapter 9, he was going through this battle, and he was praying and said, Lord, I need you to deliver me and save me and get me out of this mess. And if you remember, there was an angel, Gabriel, that showed up, but there was like this delay. It's like he prayed and it was like 3 weeks later before the angel actually showed up. But Daniel didn't stop praying. It says in verse 20, now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of God, while I was still speaking in prayer, a man, Gabriel, whom I had not seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and to give you understanding. Anybody here today needs some insight. You need some understanding. You find it when you seek the Lord. How will he get it to you? I don't know. Daniel didn't know that either. He didn't know it would take 3 weeks. And like we've all have said already, I'm not a fan of praying and God likes to wait. I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that. But the thing is God knows what's going on. This morning there was a word that was given, and it so fit with the message because just basically in my heart what I saw was God saying, you don't think I see what you're going through, but in your times of pain and suffering, it's simply me holding you in my hands. I'm protecting you. I'm guarding you. You know, there's some times when you feel like God is silent. And God doesn't, you know, we tend to say, well, God must not hear, or God's not listening, or God doesn't care. Sometimes what God is doing is he's protecting you from something that could be going on in your life. And in that place, he wants you to rest. Rest in his presence. Rest in his Spirit until his word comes to pass. Daniel read the word of God. He talked to God about the word that he heard. And then God sent an angel to help him understand stuff that was going on in his life, because that's what he needed to know. And a lot of us, I think, could get through whatever it is we're going through if we just understood what was going on, right? And isn't that what we pray? Lord, will you just help me understand what in the world is going on? When you seek the Lord, he starts to reveal to you and show you. But here's what I found. When I ask the Lord to give me direction and vision, he usually only illuminates the next step. I'm frustrated when he doesn't, I don't see it at all. But that's not usually a problem on his part. It's usually a problem on my part. Taking time, making it a priority, seeking the Lord, being silent. How many of you are good at being silent? You're only silent right now because I'm talking. But think about it. When's the last time you took 3 minutes, set a timer, and just sat quiet in the presence of God? You will find that when you try to do that, you will think of every to-do that you've ever had to do in your life. You will think, you know, man, that furnace is running kind of loud. I should probably take a look at that. You know, I've never heard the air blow through my vents before. These are things that I remember thinking, you know. I can hear the dog barking from 6 blocks away. And they're distractions. And he says, but when you spend time and get silent in the presence of God, it says that when we do that, we'll get understanding. And he'll bring revelation into our hearts when we seek him. We could get through a lot of things if we just understood what was going on. Now, the angel was sent to Daniel to give him understanding. But the angel wasn't sent to him until Daniel prayed. That's when the angel was sent. Daniel didn't pray until he found out what God had to say or what God is saying. You might say, wasn't that a part of prayer? Yeah, it can be. But you seek the Lord. And then when you know what the Lord wants, has, desires, or even if you don't, and you ask him for help, it says from the moment you ask for help, help is on the way. Before you even thought you needed help, the help that you need has already been provided. But like those signals in the air, you got to draw it down. You got to seek the Lord. You've got to pray. He says in the Word of God that when you, Daniel, prayed, the command was given to come. In chapter 10, it says that, words that we've probably heard before, but it says, from the moment you prayed, Gabriel was sent. And he said, I have come for your words. I have come for your words. So Daniel understood that he read the Word of God, got into the Word of God, he applied it to his life, and he dropped down to his knees. And the Bible says that God says, the day that you prayed, I answered your prayer. Well, why is God taking so long to answer my prayer? You see, Daniel was a righteous man, and he was praying according to the Word of God. So if that guy prays, and it takes 3 weeks for God to show up and answer him, it's going to take 3 decades for me, right? You know, it's kind of how we can think sometimes. But here's the point that's trying to be made in that scripture is this. When you live righteous and pray according to the Word of God, you not only catch the attention of God Almighty, but you catch the attention of the enemy. And you got to be aware of that. Sometimes the reason you don't have the answer that you need right now is because there's a battle going on in the invisible realm that you can't see. And all you know is, I don't feel like I want to be here. I don't feel good about this. I just want to be in that place of peace. I don't like confrontation. I don't like how it's making me feel right now. And all I can say to that is, I don't like it either. But there is a battle that is going on. When you pray according to the Word of God, and you are praying and living righteously, you get an answer from God, but you also get the attention of the enemy. Because when you say those prayers, like I said before, God bless me and my four no more, the enemy goes, I'm not worried about him. But when you start praying according to the Word of God, declaring that God is your Savior, your healer, your baptizer, when you start praying that way, he goes, oh, hold on a minute now. He gets a little nervous. And he starts running some resistance in between what God wants to give us and what it is that we need. But it doesn't stop the fact that, like Gabriel, when you pray, God has the answer. He comes for your words. It's not that God doesn't answer your prayer or when you don't feel it right away, but there's a spiritual battle that tries to block the answer that God is bringing to you. And one of the questions I get often is, if God's so good and so big and all-powerful and all-knowing and all this stuff, why do we have to even mess with all this stuff? Why doesn't he just do away with the enemy? And why doesn't he just give me my answer? Why can't I just live in a place of perfect peace? My answer simply is this. There is a place like that, and it's called heaven. But there's only one way to get there. And it's not through death. I mean, there will come a day. We all have an expiration date. But it's through life in Jesus Christ. And when you pray and communicate and talk to God, He gives you the answers to deal with the battle that goes on in the here and now. And when you do that, you're now praying in faith. You're now dressing for success. Let me close with this. There's a story of a man by the name of Sir George Adam Smith. I don't know who he is, but I liked his story because he told a story about how he wanted to go hiking, not just hiking, but like mountain climbing. He went up to the, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but I think it's called Wesserhorn. It's in the Swiss Alps. It's a really tall mountain, a lot of challenges. You've got the wind and the rain, depending on your altitude, what elements that you're going to face. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a challenge to climb this hill. So they decided they were going to go up and climb this mountain. It was stormy as they were making their way up. They would shelter themselves on the side as much as they could, and then they'd climb some more. Then they'd shelter a little bit more, and they'd climb a little bit more until eventually one day they arrived at the top of the mountain. They were at the very peak of the mountain. And when they reached that summit, they were filled with exhilaration, and Sir George forgot about his surroundings. Sir George forgot about the environment that he was in and forgot about the fierce winds, and he leaped up in the air with joy as if to give a hooray, we made it. We finally arrived. But when he leaped in the air because of the strong winds, he started to get blown off the side of the mountain. It was his tour guide that reached out and grabbed him and pulled him down to his knees. And when he grabbed him and pulled him down to his knees, he looked at him and he said, on your knees. You're only safe up here on your knees. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to a spiritual battle, the only place that you and I will find complete safety is on our knees, communicating and talking with God. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't spend much time talking with God, add 2 minutes a day, add 2 minutes a week. Challenge yourself. I give you the challenge. Try your 2 minutes of silence. Try 2 minutes of just being in the presence of God and watch how He will recalibrate your heart. Not because you're doing it because the pastor said I have to do it, so this is so boring. You do it because your heart, you're saying, I want to line up with God. I want more of Him in my life. I'll take that challenge, Pastor. Okay, you do it for you. Don't do it for me. You do it for you and your relationship with God and watch how that will grow. And God will use those moments when you drop to your knees. And then you can walk with the full armor of God. You become a living, breathing, spiritual RoboCop. It doesn't mean that you can't be harmed. This is where it means greater is He that's within you than anything else in this world. You're now full of Him spiritually. That is a journey, folks. It's not something you arrive at. I've got it. I never have to worry again. It's a journey. Well, how long is this journey? Until we go to be with Jesus. He says, until that day, He says, seek me with all of your heart. And when you seek me, I will be found. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me as we say, Father, help us, give us understanding, bring clarity into our lives. We ask Jesus, because we know that this world is difficult, but what we want to know more than anything right now is that not just greater is He that's within us than anything else in this world, but Lord, we want to know You in a personal way, in a more intimate way, a way of spending time with You. So Lord, forgive us when we've distanced ourselves. Forgive us when we've tried to fix everything. Forgive us when we've sought everybody and everything else before we sought You. Lord, we repent of that. We turn from that today. And Father, we ask that You will give us direction in our heart and in our life. Lord God, for those that are here today and they're going through the storm right now, Lord, I pray that You would just calmly walk on the water out to the boat wherever they're at and speak, peace be still in the name of Jesus. Lord, for those of us that are going through seasons where maybe we're feeling pretty good, but we don't know right around the corner is a storm that's waiting for us. We do not have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious. What we do is we follow after You and come into Your presence. Father, I pray that in all that we do, that in all that we say, that we would bring glory to Your name. Help us in our weaknesses, Jesus. We need You so much. And I pray that we will find strength and direction and clarity as we seek first your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. My challenge to you is just simply this. I hadn't planned on it, so it just kind of came out. 2 minutes a day. Can you set a timer for 2 minutes a day? I obviously would not plan it when you're trying to put your kids down to sleep or you're working or driving. It's 2 minutes. You know where you can find 2 minutes of silence? Usually in the restroom. Seriously, God will show up there? Sure hope so. I do a lot of praying in the shower. But I'm seriously giving you a challenge. Would you take 2 minutes a day? Just say, Lord, this is your time. Be silent. You're going to feel the urge to want to talk. I'm going to tell you right now. Because we always want to help God out. But God doesn't need our help. We need his. But we need to be silent and let him speak.